Hello, everybody, and welcome to Actually Comics for Wednesday, March 13th. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And there are so flipping many books this week.
Yeah, we've had it easy the last couple weeks. Now we got our work. I read so many comics. I really did, too. I really read a lot.
It took me so long to prep the web stuff for the for the website that I read like a handful. So you will have to, as usual, do the heavy lifting on this one.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. This is one of the ones that I read and was one of my favorites of the week.
Yes.
Probably, obviously.
Mm.
Goon. Fucking A.
Yeah,
I love
new
Goon.
Number one for the Goon. I thought this was also really good. It's cool because it works. So it's the Goon. If you know the Goon, it's exactly what you think the Goon is. If you don't know the Goon, it's a great art comic about a guy who's a goon and his partner Frankie, and
they fight monsters.
There's kind of like a little meta text that I enjoyed in this, where you could tell maybe he didn't necessarily want to bring the goon back to ground zero, and
yes,
so as like an artist, maybe he's saying like, here we go, we didn't want to come back here, but here we are in this town that we started
in.
I thought that was kind of fun. They worked with it.
It was super cool.
There's a real estate agent in this.
Yes. Damned.
Yeah. At every shit house, he's like, with a death curse.
Everything's got a death curse.
Am I talking too loud? I just probably spiked the.
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Goon number one is out.
Get it. Get your Goon.
Let's throw another number one on the pile here that I really enjoyed. I know. Ooh, you didn't.
I did actually.
Okay.
I didn't. I gave it a skim, but I thought it was awesome.
Man, I loved this.
Awesome.
So this is called Assassination. This is Skybound. So this is Robert Kirkman's Image imprint. And it is by Kyle Starks, who wrote the recent Mars Attacks mini and also a really fun comic that he also drew, I believe, called Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Yes.
He's written it, and Erica Henderson of Squirrel Girl fame has drawn it, and I think it's the best thing that I've seen from her, and I love her art. This is great. It's basically there's a hitman who's kind of older and now is running some crimes as a boss guy, and someone's trying to kill him, so he hires a lot of assassins, and then the assassins start assassinating everybody. That's just on the surface. It's actually really fun, super well written, super fun. If you like the Walking Dead, you know, die Kirkman thing with lots of blood and brains and stuff like that, this will give you your fix, but in a really fun way. I don't really super love a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, me either.
Like, I like Walking Dead fine, but
I'm a big fan of like over the top, crazy, violent, like horror stuff.
Right.
And those for some reason don't hit it. Like, he doesn't hit whatever it is that I like about horror. I can't explain why I don't really care for most of that. I love Invincible.
Yeah.
But like,
This has kind of Invincible style.
Exactly. That's actually much more what it's close to. Is like, it feels like a down to earth Invincible. It's like if the Punisher was in the Invincible world.
Yeah. Like with like a Goodfellas kind of
vibe.
Yeah,
exactly.
Too. But like all the Punisher team are not just like, you know,
Punisher
classic
buddies.
Yeah. There's some colorful and interesting characters, and then you get like a fun mix of violence and humor, and I really enjoyed Assassination at number one. What are we talking about next?
Whatever you'd like to. I mean, in my hand is Headlopper.
Okay, Headlopper came out. Crazy. I read through, I would say, 75% of this book. It's cool. They're doing, it's gotten very like Game of Thronesy, in terms of the overall mythology, but, I've really liked this storyline. I can't remember the name of it, but this is part three of that storyline. So if you started with Headlopper and maybe, faded out, or you're waiting for trades, this one's going to be good. It's called The Knights of Venora. And, just a lot of fun. I love the art in it.
For fans of impending lawsuits, you'll love the fact that he snuck Beast Man into one of the panels. And he's like really clearly right there in the middle of it.
Nice.
From Masters of the Universe. I was like, wow, that's bold.
Oh, man. There's this thing in this.
I hope I didn't call him out and get him in trouble.
Don't get him in trouble, please. There's a great thing in this that's like a rat that like, but it's not. It's like a monster that like eats a rat, and then it eats a cat, and then it eats all these things, and it becomes this glob monster. It's fun.
Who doesn't love glob monsters?
I mean, I do. I do. I do.
I do.
I, wait, I, that's a hard question. Who doesn't love them? Not me.
Yes.
Right? I do love them.
Jesus. I don't,
you
very
confused the hell out of me. I'm going to talk about Justice League Dark number 9.
I'm going to continue reading Wonder Twins.
Oh, my God. We'll get to Wonder Twins. We will get to Wonder Twins because it is awesome. Justice League Dark is a second part of a newer storyline with the Lords of Order, Dr. Fate. This is the Justice League book that I like. And consistently, every issue I like. It's really good. This is Swamp Thing, Man-Bat, Zatanna, Wonder Woman, and for some reason Wonder Woman works in this context, and Detective Chimp. And Blue Devil is in it too, and mystical stuff. They fight Dr. Fate. Also, they brought back the teenage Dr. Fate that had a series not too long ago, Khalid, who I like a lot. He's in it. It's good. Really liked it.
Oh my God, this is so freaking good.
Okay, so we're going to have to talk
about Wonder Twins.
Okay, I'm going to grab this copy and
How many we have.
There's two covers. Wonder Twins, number two, from Mark Russell and Stephen Byrne. This Wonder Twins comic is... it's the best. It's the best superhero comic going. It is by... so I read this... and on the third page, I was already blown away by how many awesome things had happened in it. And it's just funny and great. And like Beast Boy is in this, and like a bunch of just like
shooting
zero
your hostess
grade
fruit pie commercial.
It's a really great, almost like lampoon of superhero stuff. The Wonder Monkey comes into this issue as well.
Amphetamine is in it.
Amphetamine, the Scrambler.
She stays up all night working on the project.
I mean, honestly, the Scrambler is probably my new favorite villain. The basic idea of this one is that Lex Luthor owns a series of prison / call centers. So basically, like, you go to prison and then you have to work for Lex Luthor. And, you know, somehow
it's totally
in
unlikely
DC, like,
that it works in the real world.
I mean, this is why Mark Russell is an amazing writer and is able to work these kind of heavier social commentary into
something funny as hell.
Just fun and funny and great. There's also
full
a guy
of fruit pies.
There's a vampire who gets drunk on alcoholic's blood. There's just like a billion things, and it's great.
It's full of a billion awesome things.
Yeah, it's also full of a billion awesome things.
Oh my God.
So Tristan, I know, read this and loved it. I also loved it.
This one I tried to skim, and then I just got sucked into
you
it.
You can't. This is
holy
great.
Crap.
This is another new image, number one. It's called Little Bird, and it is essentially post-apocalyptic, not really apocalyptic,
well,
neo-future... Canadian.
It's sort of, I don't know. I took it to be kind of like a metaphor for like the future is basically going to be exactly what the past is. It's a bunch of religious zealots that take over the future, and and there's this Native American archetype type girl who's going to set free this superhuman character
who is crazy.
Who is crazy and Canadian.
So the I don't know this writer, Darcy Von Poolgeist, but Ian Bertram I am familiar with from I think some Batman stuff, some X-Men stuff here and there. He did a series that I really liked, a miniseries that I can't remember right now because my brain is too full of other comic stuff. But Ian Bertram is awesome. Matt Hollingsworth did the color. This is a great one.
Basically, if you see that Matt Hollingsworth has deigned to do the colors for a book, you probably know that it's going to be awesome.
Probably.
Or the person is really rich and they're just throwing him tons of money.
I don't think... this doesn't feel like that to me. This feels like a real like labor of love comic.
Oh, my God.
It's
absolutely
super well put together. And also, cliffhanger of the week.
Yeah.
Probably of the year. The cliffhanger at the end of this is crazy. Really like this book. Little Bird, number one, Image.
Crazy, crazy, crazy good.
Super great. So let's see. Let's do some quick hits. We got Murder Falcon number 6.
Yep.
Murder Falcon number 6 was great. It's also been and great also, and continues to be great. And also had the first one of these homage covers where I 100% got the cover because I had Rust in Peace. It's a Megadeth.
And Rust in Peace is one of the greatest albums of all time.
It is. And it is definitely has the greatest song about the Punisher that's ever been recorded by anyone. Also the best song about Hangar 18.
I was Dave Mustaine in one of the like Battle of the Bands things, the Clash of the Titans.
Ooh,
we did Metallica versus Megadeth, and I did Dave Mustaine.
That's amazing.
And we played a lot of stuff off this. And for the Punisher song, I literally didn't know the lyrics and I didn't bother looking them up and I just phonetically said them. I believe one of the things was pumpkin pie, but it was like just everything just sounded like nonsense words.
That's fantastic. Hopefully there's a recording of that somewhere.
I think there is.
That's great. I hope so. Lenny Vision.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on Lenny Vision.
I'm going to talk about Shuri, number six, really briefly. She teams up with Miles Morales, and I will say Marvel is leaning hard into the Spider-Verse stuff in terms of an aesthetic, and I love this. The art is like a fill-in artist that I'm not super familiar with. This gets real kind of trippy. They fight Graviton, and I really like the Shuri series, and there's a cameo at the end. It's good. Shuri number six. Who is the artist? Davidson. The writer is Vita Ayala. The artist is Paul Davidson. It's good.
It's really guys, good. Transformers. They're having a bold new era.
Yeah, I thought it was worth bringing this. I did not read it. I do not typically enjoy Transformers because not because they're bad or anything like that, but it's just too much already there. So I thought maybe you're looking for a number one bold new era of Transformers. It's out this week.
And you do need to because that last series was overwhelmingly complex for something about toys that turn into cars.
I read the
it was brilliant and very smart, like both More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise were like
crazy
great series. It's another one of those things where somebody's not paying attention, someone's like we just need a comic to come out from IDW. Yeah. You can do what you want, and people went fine, we're gonna make it insightful and like about sociology and like cool. Just really cool.
I read the Hannibal Taboo bi pile every week, and he loves the Transformers comics, and so it's they get great. A lot of mentions. So I'm kind of familiar with the fact that it's kind of a heady book, headier than you would expect right. a Transformers book to be.
It's basically the same way that like Flintstones, when you were what's a Flintstones book going to be? And you read this, and it's like, oh, this is about like weird. Like it has
the role of religion in you know, American life and
very strange stuff, man.
Yeah. So anyway, this is another, I don't know how connected or not connected it is, but it looks like it's a new start for Transformers. So maybe, I don't know. We just ended up talking up the old start. So maybe, I don't know what we just did.
But this is the place to start.
Superman is out. Superman
number nine.
And I enjoyed it. This is continuing the story of what happened to Superman's son, who has left Earth and then come back as a teenager, an older teenager. And it turns out he was trapped in a volcano on Earth 3, being a prisoner
Typical.
Of the crime syndicate. And they're mean.
Ultraman is in it.
Honestly, there's this really cool sequence at the beginning where Superman is like having this dream, and that he like so it's like this crazy thing. You don't necessarily know he's having a dream, but you assume it's a dream because it's just all this weird stuff involving like a ton of different superheroes. And then all of a sudden, it's like Lois Lane and his son are like, "Yeah, where are you? Come back to us, you know, wake up." And he's like, "Oh yeah, it turns out, you know, even though I don't need to sleep, I actually kind of do, and it just like happens when I'm walking around." I had this dream while I was talking to you guys.
Oh, great.
Which was kind of interesting. Anyway, that's out. Also, there was an X-Men special, Uncanny X-Men yes. Winter's End, which looks like is a continuation of the Iceman series.
Yes.
It's
a Bobby story.
Yeah, it's an Iceman comic.
Yep, it's just a one-shot with Iceman in it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Time travel stuff.
And one of the weirder books of the week is Apocalypse and the Extract from the Age of X-Men.
Yeah, you know, remember when I said I was done with Age of X-Men and I thought it sucked? Then I read this and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. it's not bad.
So you get into this world where love is illegal and all this, and then you get into Apocalypse's hippie sex cult.
He has one, it turns out, and it's like, like,
turns out there's an apocalypse hippie sex cult.
And it's like I Boy and like Kitty Pride and Dazzler. And I didn't figure out who everybody was.
Who's that?
I don't know who that is.
I don't actually know who she is either.
Maybe it's a new character.
Maybe.
Maybe they actually created a new character.
And also,
Apocalypse Jr.
Yeah, Apocalypse Jr. What's his name?
I don't know.
Genesis.
Johnny Apocalypse.
Johnny, Lil Billy Apocalypse.
So that was fun. There's also the, okay, this is the confusing thing. The 50th issue of Squirrel Girl, which is actually issue 42.
Right.
Because they restarted it after 8 issues. This is 3 stories, one of which Erica Henderson is back. So it's really cool to see Erica Henderson back on Squirrel Girl. Also Derek Charm. Written by Ryan North, and it's Kang versus Squirrel Girl in 3 different time periods, and it was fun. It was fun.
Dug it.
I
love Squirrel Girl. That book has, I don't know if it's fallen out of favor or if people are just picking it up in trades now, but man, it does not sell as much as it deserves to. It's such a great read, and it's just like, it's always funny and always enjoyable. I love that book.
Yeah, it's good. I always like it. And this is no exception.
Well,
what's next?
How about X-Force?
X-Force, I read that.
I did not.
So this is, they're fighting Ahab, which is the dumbest named X-Men villain who actually is kind of cool.
True.
But he has a stupid name. They fight him, and then it sets up the next story arc. The story is fairly enjoyable. I wanted to like the X-Force series a little bit more than I ended up liking it, which is kind of sad, but I think it's just more of an oversaturation thing.
It is a little bit.
It's like it's good, and in a less oversaturated market, it would probably make it home a little more easily. But as it is,
I think that's probably true.
It's good if you're looking for an X-Force book. It's a great book, and you're going to be really happy with it, I would assume.
A great ad in here for the new Symbiote Spider-Man, where he's shooting a web down the page. And then in the next page, someone gets stabbed through the heart with something that looks like a web. And it just looks like Spider, like it's a continuation of this ad.
Spider-Man just showed up and stabbed someone.
Just stabbed someone with a web.
With his laser webs.
It's beautiful.
The book that made me not enjoy Age of X-Men is called Marvelous X. Is it called Marvelous X-Men?
It is indeed.
Yeah, and that's number 2.
Yeah, this is all the loathsome X-Men anyway.
It's
all the characters that you don't like from this series. It's the ones that are supposed to be evil.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't a fan of it. Yeah.
But you know what I was a fan of?
Spider-Man?
Amazing friggin' Spider-Man Hunted number 1 from this new series. Oh my god. I love this.
Yeah, I love it too. What I don't love is the 4 issues that led up to it that were totally a waste of time, because this is good.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, I really dug the last issue. The Hunted, the HU, the dot HUs were nonsense.
Yeah, the road to Hunted, road to this, road to that. I don't need a road to. Just show up with the Hunted. They did. Here, it's finally here, and it's badass.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, Kraven.
I'm super glad that I went hard on these issues, because it's fucking great.
Yeah, and I love the idea that Kraven basically died at the end of the Hunt, and then has been brought back, and basically just like hates the fact that he's back and wants, but he has to be. He now has to be killed by Spider-Man, or he can't die. So this is the setup for the Hunted, which is basically every animal-themed Spider-Man character, villain, hero, all like basically like chained to Central Park and forced to fight each other, but probably much more than that. But that's what I came away with. Supergirl is out. Tristan is flipping through it. It has an amazing cover by Yannick Paquette, and the interior art is not by him, but it is an interesting story, and I like that they basically, Starfire's brother shows up, who's an Omega Men character, and I don't know if he has a code name that ends with fire, but he's there, and
I'm gonna guess yes.
He basically uses his solar power, Starfire powers, to supercharge Supergirl, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one point they do it by kissing, which is like just such a Starfire thing. Anyway, whatever. Supergirl's in space trying to find the guy who killed Krypton, and it's a relatively enjoyable arc. If you're a Supergirl fan, you'll like it. We already did this one.
Ah, yes.
Now you're reading Ms. Marvel number one.
Which, I am.
I thought was okay. I just, aesthetically, I don't enjoy the Ms. Marvel character powers.
I know you have that problem. I'm actually excited about this because as weird as it is, I feel like they went a little kiddie with Ms. Marvel. And I was like, as much as I like the idea of having an all-ages comic, I feel like she should be a little further into the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And this goes in the same way that like Young Justice hits you up where you're like, this is, there's drama and there's life and death, but it's not just constant violence and horror.
I thought this was a good, this is solid and yeah. Ahmed. And it was a good, solid issue as far as like the writing.
The artwork.
And the artwork is good. I just, for some reason, I don't know. It's just that weird, her hands get big thing. It's just weird to me. I don't, it's like, give her some cool energy powers or like.
It's literally Mr. Fantastic. It's not
yeah,
that.
But like Mr. Fantastic isn't really aesthetically. He sucks. Like, I wouldn't disgusting. Want a comic about Mr. Fantastic.
I certainly
either.
Wouldn't want to actually see him in real life doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's ugh. Weird. I don't get it.
Give me
it.
The Wiggums.
Like, but. ugh. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, like it's a cool, she's a cool character. It's a good story.
Yeah.
If you like Ms. Marvel, it's a new number one. It's a new creative direction. Yeah. It's got great art.
And also, cool. Saladin Ahmed can kind of do no wrong.
Yeah, that guy's... Have you read his Twitter?
No.
He's kind of depressed sometimes.
No, that's too bad. Really he good. Shouldn't be. Because yeah. he's like...
He's a great writer.
He's doing awesome stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that he takes a lot of shit because he's on the internet like an idiot. I got an idea. Get off Twitter permanently. How about that? And then he won't be depressed.
Yeah, I don't know. he's a great writer. I will support anything he does. He
Me
also
too.
Writes the new Miles Morales series and
yeah.
some other stuff,
which has been really good
stuff. Abbott was really great.
So
what's this?
So this is Tony Stark Iron Man.
Don't get it. Don't understand it. Nothing about that I understand. I tried. I really tried. I was like, okay, the last couple issues, it's got to be me. It's not me. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with that Iron
All
Man.
All that
comic.
Matters is that Robot Man says, come with me if you want to live. And that's all I got.
Yeah. The Flash is out.
Vintage Trickster.
So actually, I brought this to talk about. There's a great variant cover by Tim Sale. They brought back James Jesse, the original Trickster, who died in 52. But none of that matters because now he's back. And this is Flash 66. And it's the origin of James Jesse, the Trickster. He's the real Trickster, not that stupid kid that runs around and calls himself the Trickster.
Yeah, stupid
as
kid.
That kid is stupid. Speaking of aesthetically unpleasing things, that new Trickster character is not pleasing. It's like, look, make him look cool. Like, that's kind of like one of the things of superhero comics or comics in general. Like, you have the ability to make things look cool. Why make them look dumb?
Good point.
I don't understand it. Okay, do we need to pause?
I'm going to say probably if we don't want everything being destroyed.
Solution.
All right. So I'm just going to hold the cat for the rest of the podcast. Like a James Bond villain. So Dead Man Logan is out.
Oh, we're recording again. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
Yes. Dead Man Logan is out, and I have no vested game in this comic, but I thought it was decent. Like, I don't, like, the point of it is to shuffle him off into the future from whence he came, and it seems like they're doing that, but this has Jubilee in it, and I enjoy her characterization in this book.
Yeah, it's weird. The whole point of this little arc in this story is for him to go after Mysterio.
He does.
And you can't really go after Mysterio because all he is like, who knows what
you're literally made of smoke.
We don't know what the hell's going on.
I stabbed you. Wait, you're not really dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's another one of those those kind of stories.
They should have a Quentin Quire versus Quentin Blake, right? Mysterio versus Kid Omega. They're both named Quentin.
I think that's all you need, right?
Yeah. They just have to have the... Oh, Belit.
Ooh, Teeny Howard wrote this.
Belit. She did. It's great. The cover, bad choice. Other than that, like, the cover and... I mean, whatever. If you like this sexy
that's
style...
It's the monstrous. It's the monstrous artist, and I love the fact that it is the monstrous artist, but man...
But that is not what is in that book.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And that's why I don't like it. It's not that I don't like
the cover. The cover is beautiful, but it is also not what you're
getting. So you have this painting of this almost entirely naked woman on the cover. But on the inside, you have this really awesome, awesome stylized art by Kate Nimzik, who I probably have seen elsewhere. It's an origin story of Belit, who is a pirate character, badass lady pirate from Conan.
Cool. And there's a chance that Tini listens to the podcast, so awesome job.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great book. It's a really great book. I'm sorry if I said anything negative. I just didn't feel like the cover matched the interior in a way that
I absolutely agree.
And I don't even it's not even that I don't like it. It's just that if I saw that, I would not
pick it up either.
Assume what was inside it was inside it. And I think that there should be a cover that kind of matches the interior a little bit.
I kind of wish that she had chosen a different thing to draw. Because this kind of, obviously it's the skill is much higher than a Xenoscope artist, but it's just you see so much of this like boob art that it's problematic for me just because you kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, it's like when you see
a half-naked woman on the cover of a comic, you kind of go, oh, that this kind of probably isn't.
Yeah, I mean, then there's a market for that, obviously.
Obviously there
but
is.
But I just, it's not, like, I would not... The dressing of the outside does not.
No, not at all.
It kind of, I don't know. It just, whatever. I already said it. Speaking of something,
it's awesome.
Yeah. It was, honestly, it was really good.
And to be honest, when this got solicited, I was like, seriously, Marvel, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you do another Conan book? Like, this is like, it's a waste. It's like you're oversaturating the market and it's a bummer. And this actually has its place.
Yeah.
This is not, it doesn't, like, Savage Sword and Conan are similar enough that they're kind of like, this, not similar at all.
No.
And awesome. So
this is called Age of totally Conan Belit, and it is, I thought I would talk about this really quick.
Please do.
It's like Conan universe, essentially, and this is a character from that. Moving on to another number one, this time from Dark Horse. This is Calamity Kate, Madeline Visaggio, and Corin Howell, and it is about a kind of... She's a monster hunter, and she has a best friend with a kid, and she's kind of a jerk, and she just, like, shows up and starts, like, crashing on the couch of her friend and also fights monsters and like dissects them in the middle of her house and like keeps their skulls around, and there's worry about the effect it's having on the daughter. It's a fun book with good art.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great first issue. If you like Monster Hunter comics,
absolutely.
Good number one thing, new thing to check out.
And another one of our friends, Corin Howell, who is
art was great.
Yeah, she's
You've
awesome.
Talked about her in the past.
Yes,
yeah.
She's a good friend of ours.
Was she the one that did the signing?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
She came up for the signing.
I thought, and you've talked about her art before. I thought this was the best art I've seen from her. I've liked her art in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's one of those people. She's working so much, like she's a 2 to 3 page a day kind of person.
Ooh,
I don't know if that's inside pool, but I mean, like she works to the point where it concerns me, you know,
like
some
might
people
like
where you're
have
like
tendon
come
issues.
Come on, like calm down. Like this is crazy pants, but she's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And she's driven like crazy. So
she
that's
had
great,
like
man.
Really great, like facial expressions and characterization,
that's,
but then also like really good, like action, and movement within
yep.
it. I really dug, the art, and the story was fun. It was good. Calamity Kate.
One of the things I've always appreciated about her is her facial expressions. She's like she does such good like just character stuff. Really fun.
Yeah, the acting.
Yes,
it's great. She does a great, great job. Yeah.
Speaking of great, great comics, oh my god! So this,
I have one complaint about it, but go.
I have no complaints about this. What I think about this is that I didn't realize how brilliant the Buffy comic was going to be. And I didn't realize what the point of the Buffy comic was going to be. And the point is that this is Buffy without budgetary constraints of TV.
Uh-huh.
So it's like just shit that you couldn't do on TV. They were like, oh, I did want to give her a familiar that was like a gigantic fucking bat.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Yes, we can.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And it's also like the story redone in a way that you're not, you know, they're going to change some things. It's going to go in different directions.
And also they get to do little references to how it went in the series for people who are in the know. But it's a mention that kind of goes, oh, wow, look at that. I remember this scene. But it's changed around. But for people who didn't see it, it doesn't matter. No. It's just well written.
Yeah, it is really well written by Jordi Belair, who I think this is her first major writing thing. She's a colorist.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. She's great. She's doing a great job. And Dan Mora is doing a really good job on the art. But like I said, I had one complaint, and that is that every blonde female character looks the same, and it got confusing. Where, like, there's a scene with Harmony, and I thought it was Buffy. It's just visually, it gets a little kind of like, I mean, you can figure it out. There's dialogue and exposition and stuff. So it's like, it's not impossible. But, like, I would love it if there was a little bit more. It's a hard job to try to make, because he does a great job. Like, even though there are panels where Anya or Anyanka looks kind of like Buffy, there are also panels where it's like clearly you can tell like there's like some reference going on, and it's a fine line. But the overall Buffy series, 3 issues in, killing it. Love it.
It's so good.
Loving it.
Yeah. And also he clearly loves Charisma Carpenter, because her likeness is like,
yeah, it's like, good. It's also easier because she's the coloration. She's got darker hair, so it's easier.
But like, I mean, like her
Willow
face
is like red hair. You can always
perfect.
Tell. Yeah, yeah.
clearly
he's
took
a, great,
a lot of time.
He's a great artist, and maybe he's just kind of like, you know, keeping up a monthly schedule, and maybe, you know,
man.
Whatever.
I love the art in this. I love the writing. I love the ideas.
Yeah.
Super stoked on it.
Yes.
And I did not think I wanted a Buffy comic at all.
I did. I wanted to follow the season 8 or whatever when they did it. And like at first I kind of, and it helped that when the first issues of that were coming out was when I was actually first watching Buffy.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, ooh, I can kind of see like the future a little bit, and it was fun. But it very quickly turned into something that I didn't enjoy very much. Whereas this is something that, it's not piling more on, it's resetting the base. And I think that's a much more interesting storytelling way to approach Buffy.
Hey guys, do you like guns?
Do you?
And do you like Batman? Well, guess what? You're going to love
things.
Batgun. This
well,
is
I don't get it.
The Batman Who Laughs, the Grim Knight.
Did
I
you
will
wonder
say that,
what would happen in Frank Miller's Year One if Batman showed up and instead of just scaring people, he shot them and burned them alive? Well, hey, we've got the comic for you. It's called
Batman Who Laughs, the Grim Knight.
The Grim Knight.
I laughed
it's
out
so
loud.
Dumb.
There was a moment in this. It's where they're retelling the origin, and the bat bursts through the window
and he just shoots it. That was amazing. I will say, if that was drawn by like Darwin Cook, I would be all about it. Like, get Jay Bone to do this, and like I'm down. But like, don't try to sell this to me as like and it's Eduardo Rizzo too. It's like it's not a bad artist.
No, it's not.
Dave Stewart did the colors on this. Like on paper, this should be super awesome, and it is just like, what if the Batman was the Punisher? I don't know. Maybe I'll just go read the Punisher instead of like, I'll read Batman and the Punisher, and then I can get those fixes independently.
It's weird. I like, this is literally the last thing I want out of a Batman book. It's like, what if everything about Batman was not anything about Batman?
Yeah, and then it's a spin out of,
then it wouldn't be right.
Right, exactly. And it's a spin out of a character that also is the same thing, but just different. A different version of Batman that's completely different from Batman. So it's like, oh, you know how Batman is like all like the opposite of the Joker? Well, let's just make him the Joker. And then somehow in the middle of this miniseries, there's going to be a special about another Batman who shoots people with Uzis. Oh, man. There was a great scene in Assassination where a guy shoots a guy in the chest with an Uzi close range. It's just like, Whoa. I kind of want to see that in a movie. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Batman.
Yeah.
Grim Knight.
It's fine.
The origin of the most dangerous Dark Knight of all is out. Moving on to Marvel's Avengers No Road Home. This is a sequel to a Avengers comic. I didn't hate this.
No.
Like, I don't hate this. It's got decent art. The Hulk is a total murderous badass in it. And also there is a cliffhanger surprise appearance from a character that perhaps you will be super into.
Yes.
I don't know how big a deal of it is.
I think this is going to be a big deal. I think this is a big deal.
Yeah. In my collecting youth, this would have been something that I would have been like, whoa.
Yeah. I think everybody maybe, knows what it's going to be, but yes.
It caught me by surprise. I'm not going to say what it was.
I think it's great.
Not going to say what it was, but it happened in Avengers No Road Home. Number 5. Also, Mark Millar and Raphael Albuquerque's Prodigy number 4 is out. I did not read this, but it's out. Also, we're into... the last thing I read. That, man, I loved.
Yeah, sure.
Somehow we didn't talk about this. Wonder Woman 66. Kerry Nord is back on art. G. Willow Wilson is writing it. I want this. If this is the direction, this is the direction in Wonder Woman that I 100% wanted.
Yeah.
The last few issues, I've kind of been like, where are you going? You're losing me. You got me back. So basically what is going on is
so good.
The gods of Olympus are gone. The Titans of Olympus are reappearing on Earth as bad guys. Wonder Woman is hunting them, and she is now teamed up with Giganta to do that. And Giganta is awesome. This comic was awesome. The mythical beasts, the Minotaur, the cow lady, the goat boy, and the Pegasus are all in it. The art's great. The story's fun. There's some really super funny, great dialogue. And Wonder Woman is back in top form. Love it.
Yeah. And Rat Queens 15 is out.
I don't know anything about Rat Queens.
Rat Queens is great. There have been some shakeups in Rat Queens where writers leaving and things of that nature, but this is Kurt Wiebe and Ryan Ferrier doing it. Great issue. Loved it. Really enjoyed it, and like the art is great.
Nice.
Like, really fun, and some really, really ridiculous nonsense in it. It's like, it's basically like a weird, horrible Smurfs allegory with like all sorts of other nonsense.
The Smurfs allegory.
Yeah, there's some composite Smurfs that are evil, like sort of evil Smurfs in this. But I loved it. Horrible evil Smurfs.
The art is really good in this.
Yeah, the book is great. It's like everybody who has ever asked me, is there anything that, like, I like D&D. Is there a good D&D book? Is there a good, like, fantasy questing book? And the only answer I have is Rat Queens. It's literally my only answer.
That is freaky.
Yes. There's a lot of freaky.
What is up with that?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Rat Queens. Cool.
Yep.
Also, Winter Soldier number 4, which has amazing art,
as always,
from Rod Rice, who is on my watch list. This guy's great.
I'm gonna get him.
Yeah, and then who wrote it?
That guy.
Kyle Higgins. He's good. I like Kyle Higgins. He wrote some Batman stuff a long time ago and has written some Marvel stuff more recently. I did not read
him.
Other than I flipped through it because I think it has great art. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff
much stuff. But also, amazing. Just as a heads up, so Rick and Morty Dungeons & Dragons crossover is now in trade.
Oh.
So we have those. The Domino series, the new trade has come out.
Nice.
Which... that Domino series is great. Yeah. You need to read it.
That Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons series was actually really funny,
so
too. I only
fun.
Read the first issue, but the first issue was great.
Well, that's, and I think that was Zub.
Jim Zub. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So There is Kiss number 8, Rocco's Modern Life, The Trade Is Out, which people dug. I haven't read it, but people fucking loved it.
There was also an issue of Rick and Morty, special issue for Jerry
Smith. Yes, that's right. Today is the special Jerry issue. So if you want to read about Jerry, he has a horrible parasitic organism that takes over his body in
he
that
sure
issue.
He sure does.
Oblivion Song, trade paperback out.
And a new issue of the comic, which I didn't bring.
Vampironica. The trade is out.
That's Greg Smallwood.
Yep. And that Defenders miniseries has been collected in trade as well.
That was the one that was like a bunch of single issues
and then
they kind of tied together. There was the Silver Surfer one was so good.
Oh, it really was.
Yeah. There was another one that was really good too. I think the Doctor Strange one I liked.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I think actually I liked all of them.
I liked the Immortal Hulk one as well.
I really liked the Silver
That was
Surfer
the one where he just sort of showed up and like he was like, everybody just don't tell anybody I was here.
Yeah.
He murders everyone in this entire building. And he's just like,
man.
Okay, now I'm going to leave, but just shut your mouth.
That's kind of how they play him in that Avengers comic that we talked about as well. And because it's Al Ewing is one of the writers on that. And you can tell they just like, it's like 52 style where like certain, we listen to the podcast, we've already discussed this, but in the new one, the Hulk just like, all of a sudden, it's like two pages of Hulk, but he's just killing it and killing people.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing about the new version of the Hulk for me is like I kind of always liked that the Hulk never killed anyone. He was just a misunderstood monster. Now he's just kind of murdering people.
I mean, this is a different Hulk. This is a different thing.
But it's like you can't put that back in the
box. It's true. That is true.
I mean, if you were John Byrne, you'd come up with a thing of like how it was actually not the Hulk and, you know, he was lying in the bottom of the sea in a cocoon the entire time.
It's hard to ignore how awesome it was in Ultimates when he just started eating all of the Chi'ar.
I didn't like that. They had the blob eating people in the Ultimates too. That was just like the thing where it's just like, he bit the Wasp in half.
Which one?
Rough.
Where was the one where Nightcrawler made a shark appear inside the blob?
Ooh. I don't know. Was it Ultimatum? Because
I think that might have been Uncanny X-Force.
I might actually really petition if we can find copies of it to read. I might petition you to do a special like Let's Talk About Ultimatum because that is like
funny.
One of the craziest. I just remember like laughing
uncontrollably
at the comic store I used to work at when that was coming out and it just had the dumbest. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
When the blob ate the Wasp and then like they killed everyone.
The thing just decides that he's going to crush Dr. Doom's head. So he just like, he walks up to him and just squishes his head like a grape.
Just like, and it was like Jeff Loeb wrote it. And it was just like, he's not the worst writer in the world.
He's
it was
great.
Just like, let's just make the most completely insane.
And it was
like,
awesome.
And just trash everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was great. It was great.
It was really, it was like a writer having a temper tantrum with the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
He's like, damn, screw this.
You know, the only thing that could have made me like it more, it would be if Rob Liefeld had drawn it.
Yeah. That would have been even better.
I would have been into it.
So those are the things. That's what's out this week. I will have probably the new magazine with an article from Bob.
I wrote a thing.
That will probably be out by next week.
No way.
Fingers crossed.
I'm in print. I made the big time.
Yeah, we sent it off, and I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get it back, but fingers crossed we'll have it by next podcast.
Sweet.
And that has a preview of my new comic with Christian Dabari, Rad Wraith, which is a thing. You should follow us at The Rad Wraith on Instagram to see what we're up to.
I do.
And it's going to be fun, believe me.
Yeah.
And
I've seen because I follow the Rad Wraith.
Yes.
Which somehow I just, even though you've been saying it for a while, just realized that it was not pronounced Wraith. I'm sorry.
That's fine for
all of my crimes. Following it on the Instagrams, I've seen a little bit of the art and it looks good.
Yeah. That Christian Dabari, he knows how to do an art.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Interviews with cool people.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of interviews in this one. We actually ran out of space, so I had to kick Lloyd Kaufman to next month, or next quarter.
But he's cover featured in the next month.
He will be, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll absolutely make sure that we do something good about next month.
Yeah.
We'll probably be talking about Shakespeare's Shitstorm next time because that'll be close to being made.
Amazing.
The new trauma movie based on The Tempest.
Sick.
Oy.
Oy. I like it. I like movie titles that actually have swears in them.
Yes.
That's very rare.
Only Trauma, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, man. What was that comic that had the Trauma?
Oh,
it was in Assassination. Assassination was so good.
Yeah, when someone is sliced open, the sound effect is Trauma'd.
Trauma, apostrophe D. Yeah, it was great.
Yep, so hit us up. I'm at I'm Actually Comics.
Yeah.
And CoastCityComics.com. Code BLARG, B-L-A-R-G-H, exclamation point for free shipping on comics. We'll have all these books up on the website by tonight, or by the time you look at it, and it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
And so thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye. God, I need some comics.